This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, Judy.
Let me talk about Judy.
Why?
Because it needs to get done.
This administration has failed to do it. And now we have an urgent duty. We should do it now. Do it. Do it well. It feels good. Do it.
Duty.
Everybody.
Duty. Duty. Duty.
Do our duty.
Duty. Duty. Duty.
Duty.
Everybody.
Duty. Duty. Duty.
Do our duty.
Duty. Duty.
Duty.
Duty.
Everybody.
Duty. Duty. Duty.
Do our duty.
Duty. Duty.
Duty. Duty.
Everybody.
Duty. Duty.
Duty.
Do our duty.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
here's Don and Mike.
Why don't you go ahead and wheel Franklin if you had him in here.
Quite listenable, the Don and Mike Show.
Frank Caliendo.
Frank Caliendo!
From Mad TV.
Yeah.
Fox NFL Sundays here. In D.C., I think. What is the thing?
Doing a show at the Improv, isn't he?
Right. It's tomorrow. What's today, the 5th? So it's tomorrow, then it's the day after that.
Here's Frank!
It's the day after that. Hey, Frank, hi there.
Hi, Frank.
How are you?
Hi there.
How are you?
Good.
How you doing?
Good to see you guys.
You look like you just spent the night between John Madden's butt cheeks.
Frank does look a little sleepy. Frank, did you just fly in from California or
no,
what?
No, I was in Cleveland. We have a place in Cleveland. My wife is from there, and we got another child on the way. So
you've been it's sleepless nights. Is that what it is, or?
No, I don't know what it, I can't. If I could explain it, I would. I have no idea what's wrong with me.
But you agree there's something wrong,
oh,
right?
Oh, definitely. When I lost some weight a while ago, it was better. I had more energy. Now I'm blimping up more and more.
A lot of time on the road, probably.
I'm glad to see this. And, Mike, I know you'll be happy, too. I'm looking at Frank's itinerary.
Yes, what's on his docket?
He's playing Giggles.
Hey!
He is. Somebody's finally playing Giggles.
Wait, which Giggles?
We make fun of the names of comedy clubs.
Giggles.
It's a great tradition on
this
show.
He's playing Giggles in Milwaukee.
Is there a Ha-Ha's on there at all?
No, that's always in the phone number.
Okay.
He's playing a Zanies.
Right.
In Nashville. The Funny Bone.
Yeah, of course, that's got to be there.
Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarities. In Cleveland.
Are there any factories? Are there any factories at all?
I don't see any.
The joke factory.
The laugh factory. Right?
I see a couple I see a couple of bones.
Right.
There's lots of provs. Uh-huh. One giggle. Only one giggle and only one Zane.
You mean there's one just called Giggle?
Well, no, I mean it's giggles, but there's only one of the
plural.
If it was singular, if it was just Giggle, it would be a gay comedy club.
In the Giggle.
That's just my opinion.
The Giggle family. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to see, I can't imagine that you're not sold out already here in D.C. at the Improv. 202-296-7008.
That's it.
That's the number.
Yeah, the only thing we have right now is we added a 10:30 show on Thursday.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Tomorrow. Yeah, so everything. The regular weekend shows are all sold out.
Okay, good for you. That's fantastic.
I still owe you guys. Actually, the comedy club in Wichita owes you guys because you guys saved that. Like
we're the kings of Wichita.
That's right.
There are two cities that we can go to outside of Washington D.C. Wichita and Sacramento.
Yeah,
we own
Sacramento
them.
Is great too. I just did a theater there a while ago. But the that Wichita date it was tough because it was a Monday Tuesday. I was doing two shows each night or Tuesday Wednesday whatever it was. And there just wasn't anybody in those late shows to start.
Sure.
The early shows were okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then remember the guy, you guys may not remember, but the guy said to me, yeah, there's this Don and Mike here. I go, there's not two Don and Mikes.
No.
He goes, they're in the building here in Wichita. I'm like, no, let me make a phone call.
You know, it's very difficult to explain why this show has been successful in certain cities, but Wichita and Sacramento would be two cities. Haven't we been on there since the beginning of our syndication?
Mm-hmm. The people who live there are really,
it's the people,
really
right?
Stupid.
Yeah.
They like our show. They're
dumb
really,
people.
Really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that. And let me throw back at you. I want to start by asking you about I think Rob had told you, you had called to say, hey, would you mention that they were rerunning your Letterman?
Right.
And I don't know if Rob told you, I'm kind of fanatic about Letterman. So the day that you were on, I came in the next day raving about it, saying, you know, God, Frank kicks so much ass, and Letterman put so much pressure on you from the very beginning when he says, we're going to have this guy on Frank Caliendo. All I know is he does Madden.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to come out, do 5 minutes of Madden, slay me, and then leave. And then he also says...
I'm sorry, I'll let you finish.
The other thing he said, we've never had an impressionist on the show before.
Right.
They tell me...
Is that true, really?
Yes, that's what he said.
They don't like that. They want guys who are funny and quirky, like a Jim Gaffigan.
Okay, all right.
He loves guys who can twist the word.
Guys that Letterman likes, his mode.
Yeah, and that's what they book, is guys that they think that he will like and that the audience will like as well, because they want Dave's style.
You kicked ass, though. You just did great.
I told you about that. They played the tape for him before, and he really did want me to do Madden the whole time. If I would have...
Yeah, Paul, you're over there, and Dave, you're in the desk over there, and I'd love to be on the chair, but I'm not getting there.
You know, that kind of stuff. He turned away to Eddie Brill, who books it, and who's also a comedian, and he goes... I guess he said, I could listen to that guy do that all day.
So, did you have any contact with him after you did your set? Because he put incredible pressure on
you saw it as pressure, and I saw it as, hey, Dave's giving me the seal of approval. The audience can't wait for it.
Right.
Maybe I'm stupid, but that's how I saw it.
Well, that's a good way to go into it. If you thought that he was putting pressure on you, it'd be a little overwhelming.
I felt like it was making people... Now, other people said the same thing that you said just now, where they thought, why'd he put all the pressure on?
Because, here's the thing. It's not like they have anybody on the show generally that he gets excited about.
Right.
And it's like the whole time he was saying, there's this guy that does Madden. I just want this guy to come out and make me laugh for 5 minutes, and I'll be happy.
Take his pants off and put him in a cab, Paul.
And that's what obviously you get that wherever you go, right? I mean, that's what people want you to do. They want you to do your Madden all the time.
Yeah, Madden's the biggest. I mean, here, it's like anything. You spend your whole beginning of your career pigeonholing yourself to get something that people can grasp onto and know what you are.
Right.
And then you fight the rest of your career trying to do that and something else.
Can I ask you a question about your Madden? Because when you do it, It strikes me as, when you're doing any kind of impression, certain ones come to you right away and they're real easy to do, and then there are other ones that it just requires an awful lot of work. How long did it take you to get the Madden?
To get where it is now, probably 3 or 4 years.
So you took a long time getting it right.
You probably know how that. I mean, it's...
There's certain ones that come easier.
Right,
you know?
But you start them and then you listen to them like 2 years later and you're like, oh my God, I suck.
Mm-hmm.
Why did people think this was good? I listen to old recordings of me doing Madden.
You are listening to Mimics Corner.
By the way, I heard that at the beginning.
Yeah, that was inside the Mimic Studio.
You know, when I asked him that question, I thought it sounded like Inside the Comedy Mind.
Alan King. Welcome to Inside the Comedy Mind.
Oh, my God.
Another thing I want to ask you about. You did your Bush, which is also killer, in front of Big Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Right. Now, how did that go over?
It actually went over incredibly well, because he went up and did that slideshow that you guys probably heard about and all the thing. And it was very funny. He was very good. It was like on Saturday Night Live when the person can't really do a monologue, so they have them ask questions from the audience or something. Yeah. And so it makes it easier. He killed with that thing. And I guess you probably shouldn't be... say killed. But
the guy survived and got shot, so that's okay.
He did really well, and then I went up, but what he did was he set the stage for making fun of the administration and stuff like that. And then I did Madden to break the ice, and I did Madden answering questions for the press as as the Secretary of Defense or something like that. Like, what do you think about the war in I didn't make it the war in Iraq. I made it the war on terror, so people couldn't take a political stand on it or whatever. And I was like, what do you think about the war on terror? Where are we going?
You know, you do the things that you do, and then you try to. When you can't have everything work the way you want it to work, you got to try again. I mean, if you just keep doing what you have to be doing. I mean, that's just where we are.
I think Rumsfeld at that point was on the ground laughing, like, that's what I said.
So, oh, my God.
When you met Cheney, And I'm guessing
I meet him before. I met him before in a special room.
He just doesn't strike me, if you met him before the gig, as the kind of guy that would be real warm and fuzzy, especially from a comedy standpoint.
What was he like? Really?
Here's the thing. You see him on TV. TV's terrible for Dick Cheney, I think. Mm-hmm. TV, you see him? Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're with him? Grandpa. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he gives a soft handshake. He's a nice guy.
Is it soft in the like the Elton John handshake?
No, I don't think.
Where you're shaking hands with pasta or
right in the middle, and I maybe heart condition reasons. I don't know what. but and I did at one point. I looked over and I went, "Hey, Dick, boo, gotcha." And he was very nice. I said, "Do you know what I do?" And he goes, "A little bit," you know, that kind of a thing. And I said, "Well, just tonight is a night about segues. Watch for the segues to see how I do this." Because I knew that I couldn't go up there, and I'm not a ripper. I'm just, it doesn't work for me. I have to be jovial, I guess, and cherubic.
Right, that's right.
When I try to be
people
me,
have to love you.
Like when I first went to Fox Sports, that's what they tried to make me do, is do the same kind of thing as Jimmy Kimmel. I'm not Jimmy Kimmel. He needles you.
Right.
You know? I got to be silly and stupid.
Right.
So I started out right away out there, and I just did the Bush looking directly into the sun, because that's, you know, he gives you that look.
Somebody do me a favor, hand me a pair of sunglasses, and somebody get me a visor. You know?
And I started out by saying, you know, I like the president, and only one guy in the whole press corps clapped. And I looked at Cheney, and I go, Fox News, right? And he went, yep.
Now, what about Cheney? Mike was talking about this. Cheney's a guy, you don't hear him enough. He has an identifiable voice, but does he have a
speaks
voice?
Like a guy that doesn't want to be heard.
Does he have a voice that's so identifiable that you could do him and everybody would know him? Or would you
I
have to wear the makeup?
I think it's got to be that side of the mouth thing. That's all I could do. I don't. Every time I do the mouth, trying to do the voice, it starts sounding like something else. It starts sounding like I can't think of the name of the French fry man. What is that?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob
Sling Blade.
Sling Blade. Yeah. That's what it sounds like when I try and do
potatoes.
Yeah. So, you know, and Daryl Hammond does such a great Cheney on Saturday Night Live. It's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? You try not to do this.
You did the one Madden, and I wanted to ask you about how you do your stuff on Mad TV. I forgot what the bit was, but I think you were selling like a Jiffy Pop popcorn popper.
Hey, folks, John Madden here from Quick Pop Popper.
Oh, no.
I swear to God.
Don't you remember? We both TiVo'd that.
And I've never watched any bit on Saturday Night Live over, like, and it wasn't because, you know, I was studying it, but I'm watching you, and that was, I mean, that show, it strikes me that you get a lot of support on that show, and you got some pretty good people that are helping out with that. That is the funniest thing I've ever seen anybody do. I mean,
thank
you,
because that was the one thing that I think I've done on Mad TV that people really know. You know,
really?
Yeah.
I mean, I watch it all the time.
It was like
I watch
cooking
all the
with
time.
Madden thing, or it was infomercial for
doing a commercial,
popcorn, right?
Yeah, doing a commercial, and everything goes wrong. One of those kinds.
I mean, and it culminates with him like leaning forward and getting burned by the steam of the popcorn popper. It was just, I love that.
The
man.
Same guy who wrote that wrote the Sopranos bit that Will Sasso did on there, that where they did it Sopranos edited for PAX, which was just great, which was just jump cutting all over the place.
You know, we were talking about Kenny Rogers before, and speaking of Will Sasso, who does the Kenny Rogers bit on that show, where does he get that messed up Kenny Rogers
he
thing?
Just didn't
where,
want it
what is that about? I've always wanted to know what that's
he
about.
He just got bored doing Kenny Rogers.
so he just makes him totally messed up.
Yeah, and then did you ever see this was terrible, but I just wanted to milk it with him. So I did Benny Rogers, his son. So we did,
I'm Kenny Rogers, and I'm Benny Rogers, Daddy.
Now I know. Now I remember what you were doing.
Hey, son, guess what? I'm going to run in a circle.
Sasso is amazingly funny. Will is a pretty doggone good impressionist.
Right.
But he's an amazing, when he blows things into caricature, mm-hmm. that's when he's at his best.
Now, is he even semi-regularly on the show
at
all
anymore?
No,
he's not on the show anymore.
What's he doing now?
Less than perfect. He's been on that for like three. It's that sitcom, Nobody Knows Where You Are. He's had people trying to make stuff for him for a long mm-hmm. time.
Is that where you think you're going to end up?
Sitcom?
I mean, do you think
I'd love to end my career with sitcom. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to, I think that like Peter Boyle is doing, just just ending on Everybody Loves Raymond. How perfect is that? Just
that
go to work and make
ending.
A ridiculous amount of money.
Young Frankenstein to start with, and then
I mean, he did some great stuff, and right. then
but then you'd have to be friends with John Lennon, and I mean,
oh, that's right, cause that's Peter Boyle.
He was. Did you know he was the best man at John Lennon's wedding?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you did not know that.
I did not.
Wild stuff. You did not know that. So are you known now mainly? What is? Oh, and Rob also says yes. Thank you for keeping the name Rod Roddy alive. We love you, Rod Roddy.
That's another one. And you know what? It's obscure, but it's true. It's guys like you, Frank. You got to keep Rod Roddy alive. You really
do. Makers of anything you want in the entire world. It's the Don and Mike Show. They can be yours. The numbers, right?
They kept trying to write stuff on Mad TV for me to keep that going. They were doing Price is Right Caveman Edition.
His name Ugg. He got two shells. He know price rights.
All those kind of things.
Did you do that?
You've got two sticks. You rub them together. It's fire from the makers of the wheel.
There was some great. I mean, some of those were a lot of fun. At a certain point, you're going, "Why are we doing this?" And then, you know,
Bob Barker looks the same now as they will in 250 billion years. I didn't do the math. Sorry if that's not the correct trajectory of time for people.
What is it? You know, I know a lot. A lot of people that watch, obviously, both shows on Saturday Night Live.
People watch our first half hour and then go to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and then see
which,
who the host
to me, is sad because, I mean, I've always said this to friends of mine. There is no comparison between the two shows.
Who the host is, mm-hmm. and it's at that point, and no offense, to any Orientals.
You know what's seriously?
Bill Parsons, it's at that point, you decide where you're going to stay with.
Mad TV, to me, is Saturday Night Live of the 1970s. Mad TV does the stuff that still has
it's
the
better.
Edge. That's the biggest difference. I mean, I really feel like you guys will tackle a lot of subjects that you wouldn't see other people tackle.
Yeah, I think that we have. I think that also, you know, the only thing that bugs me about the show is there's a little bit too much of the recurring character stuff. Like some of those mm-hmm. same ones that you do it and then you keep doing it. I think this year we had a very good year. We did like the Fox NFL Sunday guys and
right.
stuff like that, and they broadened it open. This is actually, I'm probably, if I do any, I'm only doing a couple episodes next year.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty much done.
A lot of people,
Mr. Big Shot.
A lot of people go on that show and they have a short time. They're short timers there. Is that, do you think, the reason that that they don't hang in
well,
there?
I think you don't stay on a sketch show too long. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you stay on a sketch show too long, you're always a sketch show person for the rest
right.
of your life. Although that's what I do best. But with the NFL stuff and things like that, I think. I'm still going to be doing that kind of thing, but I just kind of want to move on and maybe do my own kind of sketch show with my, my kind of jokes and stuff like that, which some of the Mad TV stuff was like that, but mm-hmm. just trying, like Chappelle did with his show, and I'm not comparing myself to Chappelle, but he did the jokes and he found, his niche in that genre.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to something you said before, which I think may happen to you. It's a good thing because everybody loves John Madden. You were saying, you might get pigeonholed, you do all this other stuff, but you're always John Madden. Do you see yourself like maybe even, let's say, 5 years from now, whatever, you're on a sitcom or a sketch show or whatever you're doing, and they say to you, boy, you're fantastic, you're talented, you're funny, you do all this. Don't forget, you got to work the Madden in. It's like no matter where you go and what you do.
Well, that'd be a Rich Little got pigeonholed doing the Johnny Carson, didn't
yeah,
he? I mean,
yeah.
that's what he did.
Yeah, right. And
you can make a reasonably good living doing that, being pigeonholed.
And with the Madden, I know you said you don't like ripping on people. But, have you ever done a real, in a club, a real scatological Madden? Do you ever go there? I mean, what I'm saying.
Sure.
Hey, folks, it's John Madden. Christ, my hemorrhoids are killing me.
I've been led in that direction before.
Sure.
Usually it's on the air on radio.
Yeah,
because we live there.
Yeah,
we all live there.
I mean, take a look. I mean, there's hemorrhoids and then there's hemorrhoids. I mean, the bigger the H and the smaller the roids. I mean, oh, yeah, that's preparation makes that a lot better.
That's where you get the release, so to speak, on this show.
All right, good. Now, and about the Fox show. You're still on the Fox show. Now,
as far as I know, yeah.
James Brown has left.
Yeah, JB going to CBS.
What are they going to do? Who's going to be a...
Probably I'll dress up like him the first show.
Indeed.
Personally, I didn't think it was that bad.
The I tell everybody, and I always credit you guys. I always say, I have two friends that always say that when he doesn't know what to say, it will be a good time indeed. Okay.
Indeed.
Indeed.
And the thing was, when the first time, and actually, Don, you pointed that out because you watched that show five inches from the screen.
Yeah.
And you pointed out to him that he said, well, indeed 30 times or something during one episode. And he came back on, and he was aware of it the following week when they did the show.
You're kind of unique, Frank, because you're a niche performer, meaning people would know you from Mad TV, maybe from Fox NFL Sunday, but you're just that funny guy. And now you look at all of a sudden, Jesus Christ, you're everywhere. This is like a year-long tour that you're doing.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I'm just trying to give you a compliment.
I'm going
to
be quiet for you.
How does this happen? How does this happen that you get, and you're obviously incredibly talented.
True,
Mike
true.
Is saying all, yeah, no, Mike's saying all the time, this guy's the best impressionist.
Without question.
Ever.
See,
I've been watching guys from David Fry my whole life, and I don't know whether you grew up listening to those records and things like that, but really, it's just, you know what you do, and it's
all
fantastic.
Right, two things that go with that. Here's a little anecdote about the last time I was in here with you guys. I don't know if it was a caller in here, and a guy emailed me and said, dude, you were the only guy I know who gives Mike a run for his money.
Oh, that's nice. Right.
And then he goes, still like Mike better.
Well, you're
good, but I still like Mike. That's funny. But I don't see it as a company. It's funny to me because
what you do and what I do totally different.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing where there's a lot of radio stations in the country where a guy who does voices won't let me in the station. They won't have me by because the guy's worried that I'm going to try and take his job or whatever.
Well. Mike O'Meara.
That's not true at all, Frank.
But
I'm perfectly comfortable Mike with having you here. No problem at all. Is the segment almost over? I'm curious about that. You know, here's the difference. The big difference is I sit behind a microphone and I do it. You have to do I think I do 50% of an impression because when you're doing yours, you got
to
have the whole facial thing going.
I had to learn that, too.
Going.
When I first started on
Hard.
TV, I didn't do that all. Mm-hmm. So, and it was something that...
This is the point that I wanted to get to.
Oh, yes, sorry.
So you do this thing, you know, where you do something here, and now all of a sudden, look at this, Jesus Christ, you're everywhere. You're Miami, Detroit, Atlanta, you know, Ontario, New York, everywhere. Well, Milwaukee, okay, but you're everywhere now. And I think you're funny as hell. How much of your real life or observations or whatever are you getting into your show now? Or do you just come out and just do the voices? Or do you like riff on whatever you feel like riffing on as you, as Frank?
I play a little bit more. I'm doing more and more. When I started out, I went right into the impressions all the time, okay? So there was never any me bit. And I always feel like these impressions that I do, there's a piece of me in them. And that's what I think makes me different than a lot of the guys who do just impressions on stage. Mm-hmm. I talk about, you know, the situations and the stuff.
Mike, take notes. I'm sorry, you were saying?
Don't dive right into it.
I'm going to backtrack for 1 second because you said you think I'm really good.
Mm-hmm.
I also do something that a lot of other guys who do impressions don't do, is I only do the ones, for the most part, that I know I can do.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of guys on stage that do okay impressions. They do two of them that are great.
Right.
And then they do a bunch that you're like, yeah, that's all right.
Mike O'Meara.
Yeah, man, well, you're preaching to the choir right
again,
there.
Again.
That's sure.
Ask him about his Jesse Jackson sometime.
The one that sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
But the funny thing is, so many voices, I try to get like Chris Berman. I'm working on that. I've been working on that forever.
Let's hear it. Are you working on it right?
This is going to be a great football Sunday.
See, the thing is,
it starts to become Al Pacino. And I don't want to talk about sports.
You beat yourself up. You get a real complex because they all run together.
Why did you do like the back, 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 back? Do your back, 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 back.
Back, 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 back. Good on your next visit.
There you go. That's it. That's my only Chris Berman. That's all there is right there.
Yeah, I think it's hard. Sometimes they start to. You know, the other thing that I do that I think that makes me a little different than the other people that are doing stand up is I just go from voice to voice. It's that Robin Williams theory cone. I say,
you don't have a joke, just switch voices. Come on, here we go. See what I do.
I got that one.
I mean, you know, you go from this,
then you bring it down, grow a beard, be serious, talk about dying. Waiter, there's a dying fly in my soup. What's he doing? He's dying. That's not funny, but
It's not supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? And then you go back there. You bring it around. Try and figure out where you're going with this stuff. And you just can't, man. You try to figure out where it is. Of course you do. It's what it always is.
And then you don't even explain who the people are.
Right.
It was Sean Connery.
Of course.
I know. That's another I'm
thing.
A fan.
You know, another thing that was funny that somebody was listening to me last time I called in, and I was sick. And the voice, right. When I called in, and Mike picked up on it clearly, because I think he said something afterward, like, did it sound like he had something else in there? Or something like that? And what makes me... when I hear people do the impression, afterward, the guy said it to me like he was like, I think Mike was ripping on you. I was like, no, I think he was right.
Well, if you're talking about the last time, when the last time you were on the show, these guys were setting me up, and I didn't play along, right. And I didn't even know I was supposed to play along,
right.
Because like almost everything that happens on this show, I'm kept in the dark, and I didn't know. But I knew immediately, and it might have been that, I mean, because it was really not as much your impression as I kind of looked at the faces in here. No, I looked at the poker faces over across.
The funny thing to me was it was true, and people always look. It kind of goes with that thing with the with other people who do impressions. People mm-hmm. always think that you have to hate other people who do. I love it. I love going in and doing. You know, I don't like when you set it up with like let's do dueling this or dueling that, and it feels the stage.
Is, let me just tell everybody if they weren't listening that day, we always have John, the real John Madden, on a couple
we've
of times.
We've had the real John Madden.
And you don't
on
tell
him
that I
years.
Do it because
no,
you'd
no.
rather have him on than me. I know, so I'd get the boot.
That sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad.
We promoted the fact that we were going to have John Madden on, which, so everybody believed it, including Mike, because we have John Madden on.
Right.
So
and you set it up. And I never told you this that day, because that day you were not happy that I didn't buy it right away. And I identified it. I vocalized it. I looked over at Don as soon as you called in, and I said, that's not him. That's not him. And you, but the reason I did that is, do you know what your tell is? Would you like to know your tell?
Yeah, sure.
Because it wasn't him as much as you.
What was it?
Your eyebrows.
My eyebrows. That's,
you had them on, and you checked.
You're saying I have to shave my eyebrows now.
Look at your eyebrows right now. Look at your eyebrows right now.
They're lovely.
And you said, we're going to take a call from John Madden right now. And the whole time while we were talking to him, your eyebrows were like right under your hairline. And I said, "This, I know there's something."
So it looks like I had like Botox or something?
Yeah, that was the tell. That was the tell. And then, of course, I didn't know that I was, I wasn't supposed to play. Like you were trying to, you know,
trying to
get me. I was supposed to be the victim there.
The gag was to have Frank be Madden and at some point turn it scatological. And then when he did, that's when we'd say to Mike, hey, guess what? It's not John Madden. It's really Frank. However, Mike picked up on it right away.
Well, and the other reason that I picked up on it is because that bit that I told you about, the popcorn popper, I went back because I love that. And it doesn't even have to do with the accuracy of the impression, which is dead on anyway. It's the way you do him, which transcends, you know, sounding like him, because you're doing that with the popcorn popper, and I'm laughing my ass off. And I watched it 60 times in a row on TiVo.
Well, there's different versions. There's that. There's the commercial John Madden.
Right, which is folks, John Madden here.
And then there's when he's talking, yeah, you know, and you think that you're here. I mean, you see, you gotta wonder if Brett Favre is coming back. And I mean, Favre, I mean, I could make love to him all day. I mean, and I have.
I think that, you know, you just have to.
After I did the thing with Al Michaels on Jimmy Kimmel Live,
yeah.
I swear, after that, Al Michaels could not keep a straight face at the beginning of a game. Because if you ever watch him sitting there with Madden, he'll say, and what do you think about that, John?
And I really do think about that.
And you just see this Dick Cheney smile.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
How long? We didn't even ask you. How long have you been married?
2 years, two and a half years.
You say you have a little one on the way?
I have one, Joseph, who is 20 months.
Okay.
And then another one on the way, we don't know what it is. My son has that peanut allergy, which is, that's actually made it into the act a little bit sometimes, the peanut allergy.
That's scary.
Right.
That's scary
because
stuff.
Yeah, it's rough. Mm-hmm. But we caught him drinking Clorox one day. Nothing.
Right? He has an immunity to it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. You could pour bleach down the kid's throat.
Sure.
Rub him with a peanut. He's done.
That's actually in the medical diary on it. You know, you can actually rub him with the Clorox. He's fine.
So you're telling me now, if you were doing the show, you might just mention to someone, if you're having peanuts, you'd say, hey, my kid's allergic to peanuts. Then you'd go with that joke. And then you would just, with no rhyme or reason, just say right into John Madden.
Yeah, because you can't have peanuts around Frank's kids.
You got to see the face, too. He's looking right at you.
I'm dead serious. You can't have anything made with peanuts or around peanuts.
I love Charlie Brown for peanuts.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it is. I mean, peppermint patty. Not as good as the refreshing taste of a cool peppermint patty. Remember, what was that girl's name, Lucy? Remember she'd hold the ball for Charlie and he'd miss it?
And he would miss it. He would have him miss it on purpose. That's why Frank's kid can't have peanuts.
Bravo.
I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ.
God.
Oh, my God.
I really,
we're having way too much fun, guys.
I have an
so
ice cream
how many
headache.
Cities, seriously, you've got a little one, you got a one on the way. That's got to be a little difficult. How many cities are you going to do, like, in a 6 month
I'm doing
period?
A bunch for the next 2 months. And then
like 50 cities. It's like a 50 city tour.
Wow. Yeah.
A 50 city.
I'm getting into this corporate stuff. The corporate work is what's really
there
great.
You go.
That's the, you know, and with the...
Making a living.
Since the NFL on Fox stuff, it's become I'm associated with the NFL and Fox, and that way it's a huge thing. So any, like, sporting goods store, when they have a national sales thing, I'm one of the first guys they look at.
Cool.
You know?
That's
so
cool.
It works out really well.
That's pretty funny, isn't it? The fact that, I mean, like, when you say that you do something like with sports place, like if a Modell's opens up or something like that,
right.
Do they have you do commercials or they have you do they,
no,
they have
I mean,
you come
this,
out or
this
come
more,
go out and speak
this,
to their executives?
Yeah,
right?
This is more like go and do a sales meeting, an annual sales meeting, and do 45 minutes of my act.
You know, that is a license to print money.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's great.
Right?
Find a way to work Adidas into it. Free straps of goodness. Cha-ching.
Isn't that like the equivalent of someone like Terry Bradshaw going out and doing these motivational speeches?
It's exactly the same
where he just goes out and says, you know, I want.
Theismann does the same thing. Theismann makes him a million bucks a year.
I was depressed, everyone. I was depressed. I had $50 billion. And I was depressed. And do you know what saved me?
What, Terry?
This little pill.
Terry Bradshaw speaks to the people at Pfizer.
He does that kind of stuff.
Hold
he
on.
Really does.
But it is a fact that Terry Bradshaw had some kind of schizo thing, right? That,
depression.
Like, before the Super Bowl, he wouldn't go on.
Let Terry talk. It was depression.
Give him this little pill. It's called the placebo. I don't know who makes it, but I'll tell you what, guys, it works. Now, that's some good stuff, guys.
Well, that's what former quarterbacks have done for a million years, right? They go out on the speaking circuit, and you can make a lot of money that way.
Yeah, I mean, people like the... I didn't know, and that was almost John Madden without the voice.
You and sometimes why?
I forgot where I was going with it. Forget it.
Here's a guy who had an idea, thought the idea was coming, the idea went away, and then boom, there wasn't an idea anymore.
Been there, done that, my friends.
I think I've identified your favorite segue. You like Madden to Bush better than Bush to Madden.
Probably. I mean, in my act, I go like, it's so funny because some things, they always start out as like brand new, and then eventually they become part of the act.
Right.
Because you find the jokes that work, and I'll do this one thing where I go,
you went off on a little bit of a tangent right there. You know what a tangent is?
Yeah, I love tangerines. They're my favorite fruit. And then I'll come in with Clinton like, I like melons. I do. That was the thing that, from that Letterman, that's the one that got emailed all over the place, was my comparison of Bush to Clinton, because I'd never seen anybody do it on TV, and I thought they weren't going to let me do a Clinton reference to Monica Lewinsky, and they said, you know, Dave does it sometimes.
Right,
well,
sure.
Try it. And it was, Clinton could lie his way out of anything. He could stare at you directly in the eyes and say, I am not here. Just here, isn't here, just there without a T. Ladies, I love you. But Bush, he's got like truthful Tourette's. He's going to tell you the truth. It might not be on purpose, but if you wait long enough, it's going to slip out. Uh-huh. And he's a regular guy. That's what I like about it. The Monica Lewinsky scandal happened. Bush, there's no way he gets out of it. Put him on stand. Mr. President, do you have relations with that one, Monica Lewinsky? What did they tell me to say here?
That was out loud, wasn't it? I cannot believe I said that. There's two kinds of words, inside words and outside words. Inside words stay in, outside words come out. The time an inside word popped out. Gobble, gobble, my friend.
And at the end of the set, that's when Letterman went, and that's what that's all about, kids. And he used it the next night, too. He said, and that's what that's all about again.
So, Dave, well, you know, it's still a thrill, isn't it, for any comedian to go on Letterman? I mean,
Letterman,
it's still...
I, you know what? They for years, they said, a couple of years, they said, do you want to do stand-up on The Tonight Show? And I said, no, I want to try and be a guest on The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know what it is. I'd heard Kevin Pollak years ago, and I didn't do it because Kevin Pollak, but it was just interesting that Kevin Pollak didn't want to go do stand-up for Carson. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be on the couch. And I think I'm good doing stand-up. But I'm more fun on the couch because mm-hmm. I can do what we're doing here,
right.
And I can go in a different direction out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who better save that voice for a little bit later.
Guy's doing 25 shows, man, and there it is. You got me thinking about it. It is the man in the bush.
It's doing the segue.
Vegas said, do whatever you need to do. So about you talking about going on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, and I just didn't have I didn't really want to do it. I mean, I did want to do it, but I'd rather be a guest with Jay. And then when they came to me with Letterman, they said, we're going to put you on. And I said, you're kidding. You mm-hmm. don't do that. I've been told for years.
Is that known, like, in the comedian circles that he doesn't like?
I don't know if everybody knows. I knew it because they told me years.
That he doesn't book impressionists.
Eddie Brill, who's a friend of mine and the guy who books it, told me for years, you're just not right for the show. We won't have you on.
Wow.
And he didn't do it in a mean way, and I never took it against me. It's just... It's what it is.
Right.
And he said, well, we're trying to branch out and do some different stuff, and I think Dave will like you. So, he was going to make the whole show about me. You know, they reran that show literally a month later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, mm-hmm. When I got there, Dave was already throwing pies and stuff, and people were in the back going, what's going on?
I mean, really.
Like, what mood is he in?
Right.
What is happening?
That was an incredible show. It was that British actress
from
who's...
Manny McPhee.
Yeah, what's her name? She got
Emma Thompson?
Stick up her butt.
Right.
And she got Letterman in, like, to a pie fight.
Right.
And as I was watching this, keeping in mind the fact that he's been hyping up all night, I'm going to have this guy out who's just going to come out and make me laugh. I'm thinking, as he's doing the show, then, and he's when he gets into the pie fight, I'm thinking, oh, my God. Being a Letterman fan... I get the feeling that he's only got so much good feeling. You know, he only
goodwill.
Has...
He runs out of goodwill
mm-hmm. yeah.
halfway during the show.
And I'm afraid I'm watching him get into this fight with Emma Thompson, this pie fight, thinking, oh, my God, you know what it's going to be now? It's going to be he's going to be crashing. He's high right now, and he's going to be crashing by the time Frank gets out there. But he kept the sugar rush going, and he loved you.
And did you hear when I said I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl, mostly because of John Madden and him from the background, he yells, yeah!
Yeah.
I was like, I have never heard anybody get interrupted by Letterman in a set. And I same look I gave to Chaney, like, I'm acknowledging you, but I'm sorry.
Well, I thought it was great. And obviously, you're happy about it, too.
That literally has been one of the biggest things that I have done ever.
I agree.
So many people have talked about it. Mm-hmm. I think that Popcorn Popper was one thing, one step. The Letterman thing where people got to see me changing and doing it is another thing. But it's been, people have been telling me, they get an email to them from friends in different countries and stuff like that. It's on YouTube. It's all kinds of stuff. It's crazy.
Well, it sounds to me like we got to enjoy you on Mad TV while we can. You're going to be on Mad TV this coming season.
Yeah, through the end of the year.
You're going to do a few more of those.
You'll be on Fox every week, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, so far.
As far as you know.
The second time he said that, are they that way at Fox?
No, I have the contract.
Or they let you know about a half an hour before you're going to go on?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. The reason I say that is just in case somebody ever decided that I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't talk about it. It's like it's the agent's thing, you know, where you never bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more like the George Costanza thing. If you don't bring it up, you can just show up to work the next day.
And they'll let you in the door.
Right.
Okay. All right, we understand.
Well, you are great, and thank you for coming in. True. And you know, you look like I said, you look like you just spent the night between his butt cheeks. So
look at my butt cheeks. Well, spread them open. Boom, there's Caliendo.
Get to your room and get some sleep. And
it's at frankcaliendo.com if anybody wants to know where Frank's going to be, right, around the country.
And he's going to be at the Improv here in D.C. Through the weekend. starting tomorrow, the 6th through the 9th at the Improv, www.improv.com. I bet that show, whatever's left,
after this
sold out
is probably
now.
Done.
So that's and
now.
So they opened up a couple more shows, but those are going to go pretty quick.
Yeah,
too,
they,
right?
I think there's a possibility of open up. If this Thursday one goes, they're probably going to open up a Sunday late one at 10:32. So
yeah, you're the hardest working man in show business.
You know, and I'm trying to make it so when I go out of town, I only go to the cities I really want to go to, because then I don't, you know, it's a hard thing. When you have the family and stuff like that, I don't. My son just started yelling "Dada" and "Daddy" with excitement. He's like "Dada, Dada!" He comes running for me. I'm like, "Oh, this is the worst time."
Here's a guy who's got a sad clown face.
See how I can work it in anyway? It doesn't seem like it would be natural, but I found a way to pour it out now.
That was a wonderful segue there. That's the touching family man right into Madden.
Then you bring it into me. Stuff a chicken into a duck into a turkey and stuff it into Frank's son. As long as it doesn't have peanuts.
I'm telling you. Peppermint patty.
I get
it. Oh, that's
Madden to Bush. And so you think Sunday night, here's why I'm asking. Sunday, you had a show Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
Right. Could I get two freebies?
You can get whatever you want. You just sold out a show, probably.
I would like to go. I would like to go.
Go check Frank out.
Yeah. I've not seen you, so, you know.
No, I'd love for you. I can get
you. And would you mind if I heckled you?
Are you going to get drunk and heckle him?
Yeah, maybe. You know me. But it's good heckling.
Just stand
it's
in the back
not bad heckling. It's good. It's like, I love you. You get a guy like that. Do more Madden. Do more Madden.
I'm sure they get that.
You know, do Bush.
There are people that are so. It's, oh, my. You know,
be Madden. You're the Madden man.
I'll tell you what it happens more with is Jim Rome. When people think.
Dude, what are you thinking? Patty's ridiculous. Do more.
Nobody, like four people out of
what the Rome
100 are getting it.
What is going on right now? Rome is burning, and so is your ass. Dude, you are not making sense. Right now, I'm in the middle of a pause, and you're clapping. That is not a good situation for you. It's not a good situation for me. So grab the fish wrap and read about yourself tomorrow, because you are not cool.
But there are certain people that think that's the greatest thing.
I do. I think
I remember the first time you did it on this show.
It's right up there with
that
Madden.
It came out of nowhere. We didn't know you did that.
It's right up there with Madden.
I don't know if Jeff Goldblum would ever bring that out. Very odd. Very, very weird.
You know, and the one, and I had forgotten the Robin Williams. I forgot that your Robin Williams is, nobody does that
you
like
just
you.
Gotta bring it down.
Let's not bring it down.
You don't want to be hyper. It's been done before. Speaking of a sad clown face, that really is one.
I'm scared of clowns.
And again, it's Madden to Bush.
Oh, God.
Well, Rob, if you would really, I would like two tickets.
Consider it done.
Two tickets. If you're going to add a show, I'd love to come see you.
They can hold a couple tickets for any show you want.
Love to go. Love to see you.
Probably should have said that part on the air.
They'll do that thing like Goodfellas. Even if the show's sold out, they'll do that thing, you know, like Ray Liotta, where they move the table down to the front. Yeah, with the linen tablecloth.
You'll be on the stage with me.
It'll be wonderful.
You're the Madden guy!
You'll be down front. He'll be just like Jerry Vale in Goodfellas. It'll be fantastic.
Come on, do a voice.
You gotta get really, really drunk before you do that.
Do a voice.
If you're saying that, you haven't listened at all in my show. Do a voice.
Come on, do
maybe,
a voice.
Maybe
Frank.
Do another voice.
Do a funny voice.
Do a funny voice. I'm in the front row.
All right, get out of here, Frank. Go get your sleep.
Frank Caliendo, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Frank,
you
get some sleep.
You're the greatest.
Love to see your show this week.
I'd love to have you there. Thank you. Let me know whatever you guys want.
Right.
I'm sure it's taken care of.
Tell him, please. I would love that. Okay. Frank Caliendo, get out of here.
See Chris
You'll
now.
Get some sleep.
Okay. Same thing I say every time. That was Bush to Madden.
Whoa.
Robin
Thank
Williams
you.
Again.
I forgot.
Thank you, Frank.
That's great.
I mean, I know that that's just like a show for two guys.
No,
I mean,
I think everybody's digging that. I think everybody's digging that.
Whew, God. Damn.
Popcorn popper. I hate that because when you get guys that do a bit on TV, I don't want to make them do it, but I had to get them to do it.
You have it, Buzz?
Yeah, I have the video queued up here for you.
Oh, yeah, roll it. Let's hear some of it. Here we go. Here's
Can I see it, Buzz? Can you turn around?
Oh, my God. Here's Frank Caliendo as Madden.
John Madden here for the quick pop popcorn popper.
Hey, John, how's it work?
It's simple, Fred. You just plug it in, open up the butter packet. I screwed up, guys. I'm sorry, but the packet won't open. We got a better packet? Hey, folks. John Madden here for the quick pop popcorn.
popcorn popper.
Hey, John, how's it work?
It's simple, Fred. You just plug it in. You open up the butter packet. You know, when I do the Tough Actin' Tenactin' commercial, all I do is I say, boom, Tough Actin' Tenactin', and the guy shows his feet, and they keep the smile. I mean, they don't have to open up the butter packets. They can't fucking butter packets. This thing's going to shut or what?
You can't open the butter packet.
Bullshit!
I'm bleeping them out.
Hey, John, how's it work?
It's simple, Fred. You just plug it in. I can smell my arms cooking. It's like I've been napalmed.
Put some butter on it.
Right? His arm's on fire.
Can't put some butter on it. I can't get this butter packet open. Air's light. Finish this godforsaken commercial. And if I find out who's responsible for booking me on this, I'm going to kick him in the ass. Hey, folks, John Mason. It's simple, friend.
I didn't say it yet.
Go f*** yourself.
Anyway, that's Frank. That's Mad TV. That's great.
That is good stuff. And that if you and I tell people all the time, if you haven't seen Mad TV, I mean, because everybody thinks Saturday night, and it's worth it. 11 o'clock on Saturday night.
He's pretty great. He is pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Huh? So how'd you like Inside the Mimics Corner?
I didn't do that too much, did I?
No.
I didn't overdo that?
No, I'm kidding.
You know, I just, but you know, I do, I like to talk to guys that do that. I like to see how they do it.
He's, you know what he is?
I think I kept it in my pants, didn't I?
He's your Batman. Don't worry about it.
I mean, I just dug it. You know, I mean, I think the one time you asked me to do Madden, I didn't do Madden. I did Frank doing Madden.
Frank Caliendo doing
Done that all my life.
All right, so go see his shows and buy his tickets and buy his junk. And
I want to say I'm also on board with what Frank said about impressionists that should just stick to a couple that they do really well and shouldn't, like, do a bunch that they really kind of do borderline. I'm totally down
with
that.
Don't try to stretch.
Don't try to stretch it too much.
Hasn't always kind of been your philosophy?
Welcome to my career. Welcome to my entire career. Yes. Yes, it's always been about quantity. Never about quality. Quantity. Do as many as you can, and then you can put that on a piece of paper. That'll get you commercials. Yes, sirree. Fa-la-la.
Sorry, the great Frank Hellion. Yeah. I'll tell you just one thing about him. He is a funny MF-er.
Oh, that's funny. Ha 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 ha.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All yes. right, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike on Free FM.
Making that trip in and around town on the outer loop of the Beltway, you'll encounter delays. Eisenhower Avenue to the Wilson Bridge, and in the delay before Telegraph Road, there was a big pile of debris that's been cleared. Lanes are open. Brought to you by Lowe's for all of your home improvement needs. At Lowe's, they understand it's not just about building a home, it's about building a life. Lowe's, let's build something together. I'm Michelle Hughes on the Don and Mike Show, Free FM 106.7 WJFK.